Giles Turnbull and Dave Steele are blind poets. However, both men have very different writing styles. Losing their sight due to diabetic retinopathy and RP respectively, both men talk now about how writing poetry has helped them come to terms with their sight loss.
My name's Dave Steele. I'm 42 and I'm from Manchester originally, living here, been living back here now about 5 years. I've got retinitis pigmentosa. I started to lose my sight with it about 3.5 years ago.
I'm Giles Turnbull. Poetry-wise, I'm Giles L. Turnbull, because there is another Giles Turnbull whose life seems to follow bizarrely close paths to mine. So I'm 44. I've been blind for 9 years from diabetic retinopathy. So I've written poetry as both sighted and blind person, but I've only started really submitting it anywhere as a blind person. I've got a debut pamphlet with Cinnamon Press. It's out now, that's called Dressing Up. And yeah, I love poetry.
For myself, it's not often I get to speak to another sort of poet. I say poet, it's only recently, you know, that I've found myself being called that. So for me, I'd love to hear about, you know, the sort of style of writing you do and where your love for poetry first sort of came about. And obviously you said it was before you lost your sight.
I started in my late teenage years. I started writing poems for a girl I fancied, and it took off from there.
It often starts that way.
Yeah, and yeah, I started writing more and more serious stuff as I moved away to university. I studied chemistry, so I've never really studied poetry formally other than through online groups and things.
When you say you've never sort of studied poetry, because I'm the same, I've never, you know, sort of read much poetry. My favourite poets are all lyricists. I come from the sort of music side, so, yeah. You know, it's all about telling stories with me. And yeah. What I've found is that sort of allows me to sort of speak to people who are not necessarily into poetry, because you just sort of, it comes from the heart more. Is that what you found as well?
Yeah, that is true, yeah. For A-levels, we studied Thomas Hardy's poem from a language perspective. So we weren't so much studying the literary side of it, but how he wrote his poems. And I also found a book of T.S. Eliot's, The Wasteland. And so those two things really captured my imagination. So I carried on writing in their sort of styles. And just carried on from there. And I've done a lot of online groups. So, yeah, I guess I've studied poetry from that sort of perspective, but it's not been like a formal academic course.
So when you started to lose your sight, did you find that, you know, did the style of poetry or the things that you wrote about, did that change? I mean, you know, what sort of stuff do you write about?
Not consciously, although I've seen a couple of reviews from a pamphlet pointing out how much I use visual imagery still, and I'm kind of pleased about that. I mean, the last colour I remember seeing was when I lived in America, and it was the yellow of a daffodil in the sort of planters outside a doctor's surgery. Well, I don't really see anything anymore. I've minimal vision. I can sort of see light. If I was following around a supermarket and you were wearing a striped T-shirt, if it was black and white or blue and white, I might be able to pick out those stripes, but to all intents and purposes, I don't see anything anymore. So, yeah.
Do you think that sort of helps, you know, with your writing, because you're sort of thinking about the visual aspect a lot more, and you know, you're sort of creating those images, you know.
Yeah, I think so. I just had a conversation a while ago with about an interview that didn't go ahead in the end, and a lady was talking about how she had challenged her master's students to try and write without using the sense of sight, and they found it really difficult. To me, I find that quite easy, obviously, because we're living that day-to-day, aren't we, you know?
There's gifts to everything and, you know, or the advantages as well. And, you know, I always try and sort of look for the positive and, you know, that imagery that you're able to create is obviously something that's special.
Well, what's interesting is, and how long have you been lost? 3 years, you said, yeah?
Yeah, I started to lose my vision 3 years ago. It started to take a sort of dramatic dip. I've now got 5 degrees of vision left in my right eye, and my left eye is pretty much blurred. My right eye's almost look like looking through a straw.
Have you picked up any sort of improved memory capacity? Because I certainly haven't.
No, there's a lot of misconceptions about when you start to lose your sight, you know, do your other senses come alive, you know, and I always say that my sense of touch has improved, but, you know, that's a...
And likewise, hearing. You don't suddenly develop great hearing. you learn to pay attention to what you're hearing.
I think with me, since I started to lose my sight, you know, it sort of made me appreciate the little things in life. It's made me a better husband. It's made me a better father, a better friend. I used to be very sort of career-driven, materialistic. Since my life completely changed when I started losing my sight, all my priorities changed, and, you know, it's changed me for the better.
I very much like being a blind person. I mean, it's changed me. Yeah,
I think that's the way you've got to look at it. You know, the way it sort of changes you as a person. But you know, I tried to put that into my writing. So I, you know, going back to what you were saying, I'd never really written 3 years ago. I've been a professional singer for as long as I can remember. I used to perform at like holiday parks and cruise ships and hotels abroad and all over the place. And I'd written a few songs when I was younger, but until I started losing my sight, I'd never really, you know, written a poem as such. And I just found that, you know, when I started to lose my sight, that the best therapy for me was to be able to open up and write about it. In the first instance, it was just something I felt as if I needed to do. And then when I started to connect with other people, it became more of a thing. So, you know, with your poems, are there any that are about your journey into blindness or your journey with sight loss, or is it all about other things?
Not yet. although I have got a set of ideas coming together that might form a pamphlet. I do read one poem about sight loss, or about most blind people still have favourite colours. Obviously I do, because I have sighted for 30 odd years. But even people who've been blind from birth who I know still have favourite colours. So I wrote a poem about that, which I'm happy to read. It's simply called Colours. The tickle under barefoot feet is green, emerald in the sun, viridian in the shade. The skies are blue, singing with birds and be anything clouds. Grey are the paths and brown the park benches on which linger the people you've never met. The conversations you'll one day have. Yellow is the warmth that wraps an arm around your shoulders. Quiet and happy. Simple and simultaneously profound. Black is the unknown. The emptiness of someone gone. The fears we do not like to own. Pink is a birthday. Immediately unwrapped. Giddy with ribbons and party friends. The kind of day that runs until we're super tired. Then ends, collapsing into purple shades and closing eyes. The stories and the dreams, white, the sheet of paper, the field of snow waiting for footprints to bite. This heart, red like nothing else, the essence of danger, love and life. So it's showing how all the things that are going on around you, you kind of associate with colours. Whether you've seen them or not, you know that the skies are blue because everybody says that the skies are blue. So you can still have those mental images of what the colours look like, even though you're not seeing them with your own eyes anymore.
I love that. You know, it's completely different to the sort of style that I write, and I love hearing it. And it's only been, you know, up until recently that I've started to sort of listen to other poetry. The sort of biggest thing for me, you know, as I said to you before, all my sort of favourite poets have been lyricists, you know, people like Guy Garvey from Elbow, the likes of, well, even UK, likes of Paul Weller, you know, just great lyricists have been my inspiration. But only recently I've sort of discovered some other sort of new poetry, because poetry's taken a real big boom again. And the biggest thing for me recently was a guy you may be familiar with called Tony Walsh. Tony Walsh, when there was the Manchester bombing at the Etihad Arena during the Ariana Grande concert, when they did the vigil outside of Manchester Town Hall, Tony recited a piece called This Is The Place. And it is the first piece of new poetry I've, you know, sort of heard from a sort of current poet. And it just blew my mind. And I think as soon as I heard the poem, I had to go, and then I wrote about another five. You know, just off the back of hearing one of his, and, you know, hearing other styles, that just really, really inspires me to write.
Have you ever heard Kate Tempest reading her poems?
I've not. Phenomenal. No, I'm really, you know, as I said, I'm a novice as far as other poets are concerned.
Yeah, well, look up for Kate Tempest, because you'll find her on YouTube. She reads at a rate of knots, go on, Bennett, and all from memory. She was on BBC Two, and she read for about 45 minutes only, but it's kind of like a fusion of rap and hip-hop and poetry. It's really fantastic. I love it. The poetry world is quite divided about her merits, but I think it's fantastic, so well worth looking at.
That's the thing with me, you know, that's probably what's not really got me to read as much as I should have done with the poetry world, because it can be quite, they say it has to be a certain way, whereas everything I write is a particular style. And it's done in on purpose so that it's easy for the masses to consume. And yeah. It can be sort of, from you know what I have seen of the real sort of poetry website, there's a lot of bit of snobbery as far as poetry is concerned, and yeah. and it's not a case of that. You know, there's, I mean, where are you from, Giles? Where is it you live?
I'm from Harrogate originally. I moved down to Swansea for university, and I've basically been South Wales based ever since. I mean, Abergavenny.
But Harrogate originally.
Harrogate originally, yeah.
I see. Well, that says it all for me, because the North, as far as I'm concerned, you know, has created some of the best poets.
Yeah.
You know, for forever, really. You know, I know there's quite a few that have come out of sort of Manchester, but, you know, Yorkshire and where I've got a lot of family myself that seems to create a lot of poetry, but I think that comes from the, you know, the beautiful landscape and the imagery that's around. But, yeah, you know, what with me, as I was saying, with the stuff that I write, it's all about my journey into sight loss and it, what it does. I mean, I don't know what you know or what's been you've heard about me. I've released two books so far, both called Stand By Me RP, Volume 1 and 2. Both went to number one in America and Australia. And I've got the third book coming out in the next year. But what the books do is they help people who are going through, you know, the early stages of sight loss, coming to terms with sight loss. Specifically with RP and Usher syndrome, but also there's relatable stuff there for people that are just losing sight for other conditions. But what they seem to do, these poems, they seem to help people out there realise that they're not alone with the things that they're going through, because they're able to hear almost their own voice within the poetry. But it also helps family and loved ones understand what sometimes is very difficult to say.
Could you give us an example of one of your poems, Dave?
Yeah, I can. I've got a book with me, but I didn't sort of look through, so I'm just going to sort of pick one at random. Okay, yeah, for those that sort of don't know a lot about RP, RP is a hereditary condition. So with the particular gene type that I have, there's a 1 in 2 chance that my children could develop it when they're older. I've got a 4-year-old son and I've got a 9-year-old daughter. So the poem I'm going to read is one that is one of the last ones that I wrote for the last book that I released, which was Volume 2, which came out in February this year. And I've sort of finished the book, but I sort of wrote this one just as I was coming to the closing stages of editing the book. And I thought, I need to get this one in, because I sort of read it to my wife as soon as I wrote it and she cried. And that's normally a good sort of sign, you know, of a good poem. If it makes my wife in floods of tears and break down, then, you know, and it causes distress, I know it's a good thing. This one's called Shift This Cloud. How do I break the news of what I may have done to you? Won't know for sure, but doctors say the odds are 1 in 2. I look into your eyes and watch for signs I hope aren't there. Pray this RP will end in me. No faulty gene is shared. This tunneled world I live in, hope one day won't be your view. Don't follow in my steps or place foot inside my shoe. The battle for acceptance will be just a story told, with perfect sight, not hurt by light, clear vision break the mold. I carry heavy guilt through sleepless nights and secret tears. I wait to know the answer, ticking clock of RP's fears. But if in future blindness does come knocking at your door, I'll lead you by example, show you the life that's so much more. My son, be proud, will shift this cloud and dance in heavy rain. I'll show you all that's possible, strong heart and long white cane. With poems raise awareness, this will be my legacy. 4 words will travel round the world, my Stand By Me RP. So years from now, when you're fully grown, if blindness burden shared, just look at what your dad's achieved, so you'll be more prepared.
Fantastic. I did my vision training with a girl who had RP.
It's you know, what they call an invisible disability, you know, along with many others. Yep. There's no sort of outward sign, so there's a lot of misconceptions to it. And that holds a lot of people back. So, you know, that sort of inspires me to write as well, to try and break down some of the misconceptions that, you know, visually impaired people have to go through.
Yeah. Do you use a white cane?
I use a cane and I have a guide dog.
Yeah. Oh, very good. I use a cane.
Well, guide dog, no, or just cane?
Just cane at the moment. I wouldn't rule out a guide dog, but just not at the moment.
You know, I still use my cane. I was using my cane at the weekend. I was singing down in London. I do gigs down there still. So I went to sing down there and I took my cane with me and leave my guide dog at home. But he's curled up at my feet at the moment and he's made a huge, huge impact. Listen, Giles, it's been absolutely amazing speaking to you. It's always lovely to hear from, you know, another poet, especially another blind poet as well. Thanks very much for speaking. Look forward to following your writings and hearing from you soon, okay?
Yeah, thanks a lot, David. Likewise, been fantastic to find actually another blind poet.
You're very welcome.
Okay, bye.
Bye.